Let's go. Hey, and welcome everyone to our weekly show. It's obviously live on Twitter here on as a Twitter space. We're live on YouTube. We have an exciting show ahead. We're going to be discussing the Bitcoin halving, a bit of a reflection, what happened on Friday evening, Friday morning, Saturday morning here in Singapore, depending on what time zone you were in. The halving made the 420. Obviously, all the meme gods love that. We're going to be discussing the topic that's probably the main topic right now in the crypto space, but mainly in the Bitcoin space. We're going to discuss runes. And we're going to be discussing maybe a bit of the stocks, crypto as a larger group here. We have, quite a nice thing going. Fabio, what's going on your side? How are you? How was the halving? Who did you celebrate with? And I posted on Twitter that my halving party was with my kids at the breakfast table, because it was actually right at that time. So, how are you? What's going on?
Yeah, all good from my side. It's a very special day for me today, because today is I'm exactly 420 months and 69 days old today.
Really? You're joking? No way.
No. Really? It's funny because. A few years ago, I was looking up when that would be, and then I saw this is going to be April 24th of this year, then I scheduled this tweet. I don't know when it was, but a few years ago, and the tweet went out today, so that was my reminder that I'm actually 420 months and 69 days old. The memes. The halving. So initially I actually bought a ticket to a halving party in Amsterdam, but you know how it is. I have a pregnant wife and a small kid at home. So
I didn't know you announced that public yet. I didn't know you had announced the second pregnancy. Congrats.
Well,
I mean, I had known about it for quite a while now, but
I did it on Instagram and on Facebook. So it's not a secret. So, basically, we spent the evening just having nice dinner, and I was staying up a bit later than usual. It was slightly after 12 p.m., and I was watching a live stream, and the meme in front of the computer, like the blocks ticking down, and then yay! And that was my halving.
Cool. Okay. Price action. Were you surprised? Did you expect more? Did you expect less? If maybe to look at a bit of the numbers, Bitcoin is a bit above 66,000. I think we were between 64, 65 around the halving. So maybe a slight uptrend over the past days. Ethereum, very similar, pretty much aligned. Altcoins, very much. I don't think there's much of a trend for one coin right now. All of crypto slightly up. Looking at the ETF flows, slightly inflows in the past couple of days, but very slightly. Not much news other than one topic, which is runes, and obviously with that, the Bitcoin transaction fees. But what did you expect from the price?
Yeah, so I was wrong for maybe throughout the last year, I said publicly many, many times here in the Twitter spaces that I'm expecting a correction before the halving. That because we saw that the last two times, of course, there was a bit of a black swan in 2020 with the whole pandemic. But I was expecting the price to have a bit of a setback, maybe 20 to 30% correction. And yeah, we got a few 20% corrections, but we haven't still until now not seen a real dip. So I guess I was with that assessment, I was wrong. With the halving itself, I was expecting a non-event, and it kind of was a no-event. Maybe, of course, a little bit of chop, but no major price action in general. So not surprised there. And now we kind of go into the interesting part of the cycle theory. Because still, we talked about this extensively over the last 2 years. You basically have two big camps. One camp says the halving is what is driving the price in the 6 months after the halving, because almost every top and almost every cycle kind of started or ended approximately 6 months after the halving. And then, of course, you have the other camp that says, that's just fooled by randomness. It is much more due to global liquidity, namely M2, that is driving this. And I guess, we can find out, but maybe, just maybe, we're going to see one more time that both of these things actually align, that M2 will be growing exactly at that time, and we still won't know for sure afterwards. But we talked about this briefly last week. Right now, the halving is more of a narrative than it actually has a fundamental impact. And that's where we both strongly agree, I would say. What were your expectations for the halving and what are they for the coming months?
I mean, my opinion, I've been, I think, very vocal about this. I really think the halving has been, like you said, a bit more just of a just coincidence that it interlined with the liquidity pumps. At the end, the halving is the reduction in inflation is so irrelevant, in my opinion, because at the end, Bitcoin is demand driven. It's not supply driven. And so it really depends more on do people want Bitcoin or not. And it's the exact opposite with most commodities, where really a lot of the price is actually supply driven. And in Bitcoin, at the end, there's way more. And you analyzed this, I think it was like a few weeks ago. Exchanges are selling way more in Bitcoin every day based on their fees that they are making and that they need for their revenue than what the halving impact actually is. So it's really going to depend on demand. Demand at the end really depends on the narrative. It depends on the hunger that people have. And so that to me is going to be the key thing. I agree with you that probably I'm expecting maybe a bit of a more sideways summer. That doesn't mean that the price is just going to stick to 65. Sure, we may go a bit above 70. We're going to go a bit down again, lower 60s. So I think, maybe a 10% up, 10% down. I would expect that way more than suddenly a breakout to the top or a breakout to the bottom. The exception here really is if we do see some kind of weird crash right now that's just impacting, or we see some insane stimulus. But other than that, I think it's going to be more of some sideways action. I mean, that was the expectation I had very early on as well. For me, I am looking way more into Q3, late Q3, beginning Q4. So September-ish kind of where then for me, suddenly I really see that also, if you believe a bit in the cycle, then but also there, I just see a little bit more momentum building for everything again. And yeah, so for me right now, perfect time to dollar cost average, perfect time to build a position. I think this consolidation is also going to be very, very healthy. I think it's going to be building a lot of substance. And at the end, that's what you want, because if it kind of shoots through from here, then it can fall down quite easily. So that's just a bit of my assumption, all of that.
I saw a great post by someone that analyzed, I think, the last 10 or 15 election years. And the trend that this guy was spotting, I'm sorry, I don't know what the exact source was, but the major takeaway was that the market tends to consolidate and basically go sideways until Memorial Day. Memorial Day this year is on 27th of May. Then we have a bit of a slightly upwards trending summer and a really strong end of the year into election day. That was basically the average or the takeaway from his side. And it makes a lot of sense. It kind of resonates with me that we will see maybe a bit of a boring, flat, slightly upward summer and then a really strong end of the year into elections. And probably the outcome of the election is going to be a bit of a decisive factor. And there also, more of from a narrative side, I think probably Trump will be much better for Bitcoin, crypto, and let's say the markets in general. But both of them are going to spend a lot of money. You know, one guy with tax cuts and the other guys with stimulus. So, maybe that's a bit of the outlook from my side.
Yep. Can you share a bit about the key? Maybe let me share one narrative first, the Ethereum narrative. And then, why don't you do runes first? I think it's the trending narrative. Maybe walk us a bit through what you see there. And yeah, then I think that would be quite interesting a bit. And then,
So I'm going to keep it very high level, not too technical, and just try to give a bit of a history. So I guess my take on it is a lot of things in Bitcoin kind of seem to come full circle. I make a few examples. We saw, for example, the first NFT was actually on Bitcoin, PayPay. The first stablecoin, USDT, started on Omni, on Bitcoin. The first, let's say, DeFi-ish applications also tried to kind of find their way on Bitcoin. Then they all went to other places, to Solana, to Ethereum, and so on. But now the trend that I see or many people see is that things kind of tend to consolidate back to Bitcoin again. Now, there already was a big try last year to kind of bring these things back with Ordinals and with BRC20. And the issue, the main issue with Ordinals and BRC20 is that they are not economical. They clog up the chain like crazy. They take a lot of block space. They're super slow. They're super clunky. If you ever have interacted with, let's say, a BRC20 token or, I don't know, Unisat with those wallets, you have major, major issues when it comes to user experience. We are living in the 21st century. Everything needs to happen instantaneously. Nobody wants to wait for 10-minute block times. People want to send two transactions after each other. And that's just not possible right now on the Bitcoin side. And for everybody that has tried anything in the Ordinal space or in the BRC20 world, you will instantly know what I'm talking about. It's just complex, slow, clunky, it doesn't feel nice, especially if you're used to a much greater user experience like trading on Uniswap, you know, instant click to trade, instant feedback, lower block times, and so on. So now we come into runes. Casey Rathermore, it was also the guy that kind of hit off Ordinals. He's not really the guy that is connected to BRC20. He also doesn't really like BRC20, and he thinks runes as a token standard, let's call it the token standard, is going to replace BRC20 because it takes away a lot of the inefficiencies that BRC20 had. Runes got introduced with block 840,000 last with the halving. They basically went live and the initial hype around it was crazy. But there, it is one key point to understand. The major hype was basically you have every 4 months you can reserve a name, and that's once in a blockchain's lifetime thing. These names are unique. So there was a major rush from people that want to build in the Runes ecosystem to reserve their names. So it started with the block 840,000 last week, and every 4 months there will be another reservation scheme. So the initial hype and the high block subsidies that the miners were basically able to get in was mainly due to that naming scheme. Because if you really look on what is happening on the Rune side, who is using that, there isn't a lot of decent activity. It's very messy. It's very chaotic. It has a lot of issues. But, and let me make one comparison here. And I'm going to compare this to the ERC20 world. So, and it's a metaphor, but it will help everybody to understand what this might be. So in 2015, we saw the introduction of ERC20 as a token standard on the EVM side. From 2015 onwards, we basically saw an insane sprung of new tokens, all kinds of new tokens, all kinds of new tokens were basically coming into fruition, namely the ICO Crave in 2017 and so on. So with all these tokens, you kind of need the infrastructure, the networks that you can trade these tokens with each other. And all good on your camera side, Julian?
No, my camera had a complete disconnect. I don't know why, so I had to switch cameras. I don't know what the heck is happening.
Okay.
Sorry.
Julian's camera broke up, but he's back. So yeah, we started with the token standard in 2015. It took like 4 years for the infrastructure to be built, to, you know, have DEXs in place. And then it took another year for DeFi summer to hit, for really like the whole hype and things kind of aligning together. The infrastructure was built out, the tokens were there, the interest was there, and this led to DeFi summer 2020. So I personally think that on the Bitcoin side, we will see something similar. But people are not skating to where the puck is. They already know how this is going to play out. They're skating to where the puck is going to be, meaning they're already looking into building out the infrastructure, coming online with DEXs, and building launch pads and so on. So probably this whole thing is going to take months, not years. So we probably look at the end of the year for kind of these things to align. But, because I know exactly what the audience is looking for is, oh, how can I profit from this hype? What do I need to do to kind of tap into this and to really make money? And my personal recommendation here is play around with small money. Try this get an Xverse wallet, get a Uniset wallet, start, you know, go on to Ortsar for as a decentralized marketplace and play around with it, but don't use big money. And you will instantly see that there are a lot of inefficiencies and it's not yet ready. But with you playing around, you will understand the ecosystem and you are probably going to be able to spot trends and to be around when the hype finally comes. And my estimation is that this is going to be more towards the end of the year. So that would be a very, very high level, very non-techy explanation of my interpretation of what Runes as a, let's say, token standard can bring to the Bitcoin ecosystem. But as a Bitcoiner, this is super exciting for me. And here I want to just close this with one. So you have on Bitcoin, you have a bit of two cultures right now. You have the hardcore maximalists that say this is a monetary instrument. It shouldn't be used for degen like stuff. And you have the people that say, hey, Bitcoin can be much more than that. And we should allow other things to happen as well. So there is a bit of a culture war. I'm somewhere in between because look, there is always people that are going to gamble. Look at the insane demand that we have for meme coins and shit coins on Solana mainly. And you know, don't fight the market. If the market wants this, okay, that's fine. And why don't we have that on Bitcoin? Because it incentivizes the miners. It's nice gambling. There's always a place for gambling. And so I'm somewhere in between. I say, why not have this on Bitcoin? If it's not clogging up the chain and we have decent infrastructure to host this, it's a great benefit. So I'm having two eyes on the whole Runes space. It's super exciting that this is happening. There are some challenges that need to be solved first, but it's definitely something worth watching.
How do you see the entire debate around the fees and the clogging and all this? Like, how do you see that? I mean, also, I mean, we've had what, over $100 in fees.
I think it's good. Look, even it doesn't matter if it's your personal life, my personal life, or if it's a business decision. If you feel the necessity, if things really kind of hurt, if things are terrible, innovation has a much easier way. Out of necessity, the biggest innovations that we saw that humanity ever built came out of necessity because they were necessary, because we felt the pain. And I think in Bitcoin and blockchain, it's no different. So I think that we feel the pain, that transaction fees are high, is an amazing thing because people will start to see, okay, this is a problem. We need a solution now. And they will start to build something. So I see this as a positive thing. I know that a lot of people at the other end of the world are relying on cheap on-chain fees because they need to send remittance money to their families or whatnot. I know that they are struggling because of that. But in the long term, I think that we have a bit of a throughput problem, a scaling problem, and that there is a lot of attention on it, that this is going to be a very good thing long term.
Yep. I mean, for me, again, I'm way more on the kind of digital gold censorship resistant asset kind of side anyways on there. So yeah, I think the fees that I agree is a bit more on the secondary side, but yeah. What else of a narrative do you see right now in the crypto space? Real world asset is a trend. Ethereum, like a bit on the Hopium on ETF. What else?
Yeah, so I would base the major trends for me is I'm still waiting for identity. I still feel that identity is going to be a thing. It wasn't really until now, but in combination with real world asset, it makes, in my opinion, it makes a lot of sense that we get a bit of a wave when it comes to identity. Tokenization. Look, if Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, is pushing a narrative, I think we should all be paying attention. And he's really, really driving down the tokenized assets, the real world assets. And from a macro perspective, still, look, one thing on the ETFs, people underestimate still right now, the ETFs blew everything out of proportion. We never had such an insane ETF launch as we had. But crypto people, it's never enough for them. Like, we had the best ETF launch in history ever by far, but it's not enough because the price is not at $100,000 yet. Initially, a lot of people were saying, yeah, we're expecting maybe 10 billion a year. We already saw volumes of 40 billion within a few months, within 5 months, 40 billion, 12 billion of net inflows. It's just complete madness if you compare that with any other ETF launch. And we're not done yet. Like the funds keep trickling in. And then, of course, you have the same, probably, my estimation is more towards the end of the year, that we are going to see a bit of a hype regarding the Ethereum ETF as well. Ethereum isn't performing that well right now, but I can foresee maybe a bottom or a trend change, especially on the Bitcoin pair, maybe somewhere during the summer. And then this kind of aligning with an ETF narrative and a strong finish for the end of the year. So these are the main things that I'm currently looking at. But then again, I'm not the DGEN, I'm not the altcoin trader or anything. So I missed probably a lot of these things. I'm wondering if you have your eyes on something very particular, maybe token-wise or narrative-wise.
No, actually, I mean, for me right now, I mean, I have a large Ethereum bag. So for me, it would be amazing if in May we're going to see an Ethereum ETF. I don't know how the odds are. I mean, I'm following the Bloomberg guys on this, probably like everyone else. And yeah, there was just a post, I think, this morning where maybe some of the issuers are in touch with the SEC, but it's a very, very murky one. So yeah, I think the Bloomberg guys give it a 25% chance for me. I think I would be lying to say that I would know better. So I'm just going to tag on there. I do hope it gets approved. But yeah, that's like basically a talking memo book. Yeah, so that's... Other than that, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be really, really, really interesting to see the next narrative and how is this going to flow. So, yeah, I really wouldn't be surprised if we see a bit of a calmer kind of sideways period right now, just to kind of load everything up. And, yeah, I mean, we saw this in stocks. I mean, look, AI stocks, they fell down like massively. NVIDIA lost over 200 billion in a single day. I don't know if you saw that Elon tweet where he said these are rookie numbers. I thought that was insane. Tech stocks struggling a bit. Yeah, so wouldn't be too surprising. Just kind of loading up a bit, kind of compressing the coil for it. Bam.
What are your thoughts on Tesla? Because when we talk about stocks, like stocks in general, the Magnificent Seven and so on, stocks are in general doing pretty well, but Tesla is really struggling. What are your thoughts on Tesla?
Yeah, I think so. Tesla is probably the only position that I have that I don't see as an investment, that I see as a bit of a me supporting Elon. And I think I just think what he does is just absolutely incredible. The kind of the stuff he stands for, I think it's just insane. I don't know, he picks fights with everyone who doesn't align with the right mission. I saw this in Brazil, obviously Australia right now. I don't know, he doesn't back down and he has no issue kind of going against prime ministers. He doesn't care about the lawsuits and he doesn't care about who is up against him. He just stands for what's right. And I don't know, for me, like even during this time when I didn't use Twitter at all, I didn't cancel my subscription there. On Tesla, to me, it's the same thing. I drive a Tesla. I really support it. I wouldn't sell my shares just because to me, this is me, I don't know, trying to support him. That's it, really. I don't know. Like I reflected so many times where I thought I should have sold just from a financial decision. I don't know. I think I've invested in Tesla for a long time ago. Tesla and Berkshire are the two stocks, maybe Apple, I'm not sure. Apple, Tesla, Berkshire, I think those three stocks are the stocks that I've held the longest. Probably it's Berkshire, maybe as the longest, but those three. And while I have sold sometimes and then bought again, there are some of those positions that I've been holding for a super long time. And I know I owe a lot of the personal wealth I have to those Tesla shares, and yeah, I'm just loyal. I don't see this I don't see this as an investment anymore. To me, this is like actually what I I'm honest about it, right? So I don't like to me this is not an investment decision. To me, that's a decision where Elon does things and says things that sometimes I wish I would have don't know, the energy for, or actually just to do that, right? He speaks out on topics and issues that completely speak out of my heart. And I feel, man, I'm so glad he does. So yeah, that, I don't know, that's just, and sure, sometimes I should do it myself, but then I'm like, oh man, I am fighting enough battles. I don't want to fight another battle. And for some weird reason, he just doesn't care about picking more battles. And I just want to support that. And that's, so it's not a real investment decision. I'm not judging it from an investment side. How do you see it?
Yeah, the value investor, or everything I learned about investing is kind of, it killed me, because I held Tesla for a very long period of time. I don't know when I bought it the first time, but I know when I sold it in January of 2020, I think, or 2021, when they first went parabolic, I sold, and I never found my way back in ever since. I had a few buy orders at 100, and it just didn't hit. Like, it's so, I'm very unlucky with my Tesla positions. But what kind of speaks to me is, if you value this thing as a car company, which mainly it is, I know Elon says it's more of an AI company, it's more of a software company. I know that he says that, but if you value it as a car company, it should be worth $30. It should be worth $30. As a car company, even at $30, you can make the argument that it's still overvalued. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that this really is going to evolve into self-driving and AI and robots and all of the things that he's really good with these narratives. And I want to believe in him and I want to invest. But it's still, for my taste, maybe that's a personal bias that I have or so, it's still a bit overpriced. But I'm looking to find an entry at Tesla. I'm looking to find it at around $100. So if we're going to see $100, I'm definitely going to start dollar cost averaging in hard. But yeah, that's a bit of my taste take on Tesla.
Yeah. Cool. Any other points, topics? On Bake, we launched, I think it's just ready right now in for beta users. I'm not 100% sure on the partial selling of bundles. I can't remember. YC announced it a day internally, so I can't remember if it was available only to a small group or to everyone already. Let me quickly look into the log. Okay, I'm not sure right now. Ferhat, maybe you know, and you can.
I think it's live.
It's live for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Updates. Cool. User can now partially sell their bundles besides.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if this is just for beta users or for everyone, but that's really cool. Okay, then it's good. If for everyone, then check it out. That's really a feature that was asked by many, many people, that you don't have to exit a full bundle, that you can just exit part of it. So yeah, team did that. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of cool things there in the second quarter. A question that many people always want is maybe some self-rebalancing, maybe some customization, obviously more pairs, more coins, better fees, better routing. So all these better user experience, faster, all these things. So we're going to be improving on all this. I think Q1 was really a lot about getting a lot of the ground stock, Q4, Q1. And now it's really about optimizing, testing. So yeah, it's going to be a cool thing. So really proud of the team, doing great work.
On the back side, of course, the cat is a bit out of the bag. Some of these infos are public, so I'm just going to ask the question here. Are you expecting a decision or anything interesting from, there is a court date tomorrow around midday time in Singapore. What are your expectations? Is there something you can share? I know
I just want to comment on one thing, and then really let's see what's going to happen tomorrow. I want to be clear. It's not confirmed that this is going to be the judge's decision tomorrow. I know that this is what everyone is expecting, and I want to be very clear. I also hope so, but there is a small chance that the judge is convening us for something else. So I just want to be very clear on this, but obviously fingers crossed that we're going to get a decision tomorrow. Obviously, I would hope for a very positive decision for the company, for myself, for the team, for our customers. So let's see, 2:30 tomorrow. So fingers crossed. But again, I just want to manage expectations. There is a small chance that it's actually not the decision, even though I obviously would hope and expect. And it would fit with the timeline. And yeah, so let's hope we can all celebrate tomorrow.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Just from an admin perspective, I just want to mention this. There is Labor Day, International Labor Day. That's a thing It's actually a thing internationally. So as well as Singapore, as a lot of countries here in Europe, on 1st of May is International Labor Day. So there is not going to be a Twitter space next week, but we're going to be back in 2 weeks, meaning this is going to be the 8th of May, yeah. Just before Ascension Day.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well-deserved break. Next week, there's just quite a lot of things. So, yeah. Good. Nothing else? No? Sounds good with that. Then everyone, fingers crossed for tomorrow. Let's all hope for some really good news. And Fabio, thank you for doing this, walking us through on this. Please download the Bake app. If you're not a customer yet, become a customer. If you're not using us yet, then hey, test it out, try us out, exchange, swap, get cash flow on your assets, use the bundles, and then let's hope for NGU numbers going up. Everyone, have a good Wednesday. Have a good week. Fabio, to you too. Thank you. All the best. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.